Your home is important. That's why GEICO helps make it easy to save on condo insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you took minimalism too far because there's only one chair in your entire condo and your only entertainment is one card. Not even a deck of cards, but a single card. And all your guests have to share one plate and one fork, but you're convinced that less stuff means more freedom. The GEICO Insurance Agency could help protect the overly minimalist broom closet you call home. Call GEICO and see how easy it is to switch and save on condo insurance.
GEICO presents yet another voicemail from your roommate.
Hi! So, about the kitchen. Turns out, when there's a grease fire, you're not supposed to throw water on it. Who would have known, right? Anyways, the fire department is here, and it's totally cool. Give me a call back when you get a chance.
The GEICO Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if danger is your roommate's middle name. Visit GEICO.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
Everyone has been destroyed because of this freak. I won't allow it! These babies just saved this lame's best party!
Hello, and welcome to another episode of This Week in Geek. Now, this is probably, hopefully, going to be the final weekend that I'm doing solo, as I believe Birdman says he thinks he's going to be back starting next weekend from his hiatus. Now, it's going to be a bit of a shorter condensed show because I had to record a few things in advance to get this together because this is a very busy weekend. My roommate is moving out, I believe, on Saturday or Sunday. I'm not sure the exact date he gets his truck, but it's also a time when I'll be probably streaming with the Terrible Warriors and Cambridge Chronicles crew on Twitch while we're testing out our stream on that. So I'm going to be in a case of I'm going to try to dampen the noise as best I can as things get moved out. And then I'm, you know, leaving. I've got to go to a bunch of doctor's appointments on Monday, so I won't be home. Then I'll be back on Wednesday to do basically a proper clean of the apartment and roommate's room, because then my father's going to move in to take over his place starting next weekend, which is the long weekend. So it's going to be a busy week. I wanted to make sure we get out here. So we're going to have probably shorter news stories, only a couple of them, but we do have four reviews here for you. We're going to be getting into Judgment from Sega, Omen of Sorrow, which is a really cool fighting game, an independent fighting game on the PS4. We also have a title from Wellgo USA called T-34, which is a Russian World War II Blu-ray movie. And then we also have the Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, the really cool, highly anticipated Kickstarter game. I got that for Xbox One to review, so that's going to be in here. Birdman has a few things on the go. I believe he said he has Crash Bandicoot, Crash Team Racing to review. That'll be in the next week or so. And I believe he has my friend Pedro, I think he got as well. So, and we got a few things on the go coming here too. So without further ado, we're going to get into the first review or two, and then we're going to do our regular news, our weird news, and I'll probably have another story. I'll think of a story for the On the Buses segment, and we'll close out the show and get this going and ready. All right, so without further ado, here is the first review.
Basically, use the geeks.
Leave me alone, geek boy.
Holy shit, you geeks are badass.
Thank you.
Welgo USA sent over their newest release, T-34, which is a Russian film basically taking place during World War II. The description is, during the greatest war in the history of mankind, young Lieutenant Ivushkin assembles a young, courageous group of POWs to plan a daring escape from captivity. With the power of a half-destroyed T-34 tank, Ivushkin and his crew challenge an enemy battalion ready to battle until the end for family and for country. It's a pretty straightforward, adventure war action film. I've not seen too many Russian films recently. I remember a few years ago I saw Leviathan in theaters, and I thought that was pretty good. Now, this is a Blu-ray DVD combo release. It comes with pretty bare bones features, some behind the scenes, nothing too fancy. There is an English language track available, where previously on like digital formats and when it was released in limited theaters, it was only subtitled and in Russian. Now, that being said, we get to the funniest part of this review, which is the English dub is horrendously terrible, hilariously bad. Almost like they got somebody from their office who spoke English in Russia just to do English. It actually changes the feel of the film. I watched it initially in its original Russian language, which is in surround sound, and with subtitles on. And the subtitles do an adequate job. It's not like it takes up too much of the screen. The action and the acting is actually quite good. The audio design is really well done, and there's a lot of good sound staging involved. Visually, it's a pretty compelling film, especially for one that comes from Russia, where they're not known for having like the greatest, highest quality films. This is actually a pretty good one. Now, like I said, the English dub is hilarious. It's like a dub, like a Jackie Chan dub from like the late 80s. That's how bad it is, and it even changes the tone of everybody's voices and everything. So it's almost like, if you're going to watch it on the Russian version first, and then watch the second time in English for a great laugh, or like it becomes like almost like a Mystery Science Theater style spoof when you watch it with the English dub on. So, I was pleasantly surprised. Either you got to have a fantastic dub, or you better have a terrible dub, because it's otherwise, if it's just a middling dub, there's no point in watching it. So this is pretty good. Now, it's retailing for about 15 Canadian right now on Amazon, which is a pretty good deal. It's one, to be honest, I would say is probably skippable. As far as the video releases I've got from Welgo USA, it's not one that was, it's not the best one I've received from them for review. It is worth a watch. It's the kind of thing where you might want to get it digital. And if you're questioning, you're on the fence about it, check out Welgo USA's website for more information and watch like a trailer for it on YouTube. I would, if I was going to rate it, I'd give it a 6.5 out of 10. The dub brings it up to an 8 for me for the hilarious factor. Other than that, it's honestly not the best film out this year.
Need a new weapon in your battle against evil? Check out LibrisArcana.com for Canada's premier RPG dice subscription service for only $7.97 Canadian with free shipping. You can get a new complete set of role-playing dice from D4s to D20s delivered straight to your door. Dice themes are new each month and can be anything your mind can imagine and beyond. Visit LibrisArcana.com and subscribe for only $7.97 Canadian with free shipping, and be prepared to open up new worlds of adventure.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right.
What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you, with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth. Teenagers can communicate entirely in emojis.
How was the birthday party? Pizza slice, kitten, soccer ball, pineapple?
Truth. It's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
What are you talking about? Paperclip, shoulder shrug, high five, wizard hat? What?
GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
News on the mark!
Yeah.
It's news time. So what do we have? Three short stories for you this week. Starting with, KFC is launching a new Cheetos sandwich in July, and they're saying the flavor is out of this world. This is brought to us by Delish. So it looks to me like it's your standard sort of zinger, and they happen to put a bunch of Cheetos on it, which is kind of a no-brainer. People do that with their sandwiches and stuff at like picnics and that. They'll put chips in with their sandwich or that sort of thing. So I get that. Now, this is something where they show it having its own like line of food. For instance, like they showed having like a bowl of mashed potatoes with cheese, the burrito meat, I'm saying in quotes, with topped off with Cheetos, sort of like you'd do with like Fritos. Now, they also showed it like French fries sort of covered in it. So it's kind of neat. I know French fries aren't available at Taco Bell in the States, and it sounds weird to our American listeners, but in Canada, French fries are everywhere. And instead of poutine, like you would figure from most fast food stores, they offer basically, they call it like fries supreme, and it's French fries with sour cream, your taco meat, basically dressed up like you would with a loaded nacho sort of thing. And it's delicious. It's probably the most popular thing that they have here. So them bringing that here, it would be really cool. There's no word on Canada yet, but pretty much anything that KFC and Taco Bell brings, they're basically the same company, so they have interchangeable items that you can find at both. So I'm assuming KFC will have the Cheetos there. We already have the Cheetos in the Gorgitas here, so they'll cross over. I know Birdman was saying, oh, I don't know if we're going to get it. We're going to have to make a trip to the States to get it. I'm like, nah, dude, it's going to show up here. It will eventually. Sooner probably rather than later. And it'll probably be good, and then they'll probably get rid of it fast because, you know, they have to get rid of anything that's cool. Like, we got the Double Down, even though people didn't think we were ever going to get it because of the health concerns with it. But we still got it in Canada. It just took a little longer to get here. So moving along to our next story, we have Bret Hart and Corey Feldman horror movie Tales from the Dead Zone, slated for a 2020 release. It's the first time Bret Hart's ever starred in a movie, and I hope it's going to be his last, because I saw the trailer for this, and it looks god fucking awful. Just absolute garbage. And Corey Feldman is lost his goddamn mind, because you saw that, was it a double album he released a couple years ago, where it was like the worst piece of music ever put to vinyl? I'm almost barfing in my mouth thinking about it. And then he tried to play it off like that Hollywood and everybody's trying to kill him, and they're out to get him because he's too creative. No, he's just lost his mind. Now, Tales from the Dead Zone aims to be sort of like the mixture of Twilight Zone style, creep show style, multi-story anthologies where they have like an overarching narrative between them. That's what they're filming right now. So it was filmed up in Canada, probably really close in Alberta to where Bret Hart lives, which would explain why he's even in it, you know, in the first place. Because otherwise, I watched the trailer, and you can, you know, look it up on YouTube yourself. It's called Tales from the Dead Zone. He's probably the best actor in it. And this is a man who's been kicked in the head so many times that he's had a stroke. So, and he's his first time acting, and he still sounds better and more realistic than even people like Corey Feldman, who's supposedly a real actor. So I'm still going to watch it, and you know it. We might even have to do like a commentary on that, because it'll be ridiculous. Maybe we can get a screener copy or something. Now, kudos to everybody who made it, because obviously making a film is hard, but it looks bad. So, and not necessarily the fun bad either. It just looks like very poorly made. But that being said, I'm still going to watch it, because it is Bret the Hitman Hart. So, like I said, hit it up on YouTube. Check out the Tales from the Dead Zone and see what you think. And our last, normal, I'm saying in quotes, news story of the day is that there's a Christian group out there trying to get Netflix to cancel Good Omens. The only problem there is Good Omens airs on Amazon Prime. It has nothing to do with Netflix, and they're so oblivious to it that it sort of encapsulates the crazy far right and, you know, in a bubble, and that they don't even know what they're complaining about. So they got all these signatures, thousands of signatures, and sent it into Netflix to have them cancel a show they don't even own or even air. So Neil Gaiman, the writer or co-writer of that story and the TV series, sent out a bunch of tweets, and he said, this is beautiful. Promise me you won't tell them. And it was just showing off and he even has a copy of their letter that they wanted signed, and he crossed out everything that he said was wrong and things that they didn't even, you know, understand, and corrected them for it. And then Netflix UK and Ireland were the first ones to respond. Now they said, okay, we promise not to make any more we promise not to make any more Good Omens. And Amazon Prime tweeted back, hey Netflix, we'll cancel Stranger Things if you cancel Good Omens. Oh, it's just glorious, because their complaints are even unfounded. They watched it. The problem is, people that are in this like extremist category where they complain about everything, you know, they picket, you know, hospitals that give to abortions and all this stuff. They're so strung up people that like they're so wound tight that they can't even look at something and go, that's phony baloney, and we're just supposed to watch it as in a comical sense, when anybody else would watch it and go, this is ridiculous. It's a ridiculous, silly, fun show. It has nothing to do with trying to tell you, you know, how to live your lives or what you should be. But the kind of people that complain about this stuff are the kind of people that absolutely hate themselves so much that they have to hate other people and point the blame at everybody else, which is funny because they often like this get everything wrong. So this is one of those just hilarious things where it's more funny watching it unfold than actually, you know, in some cases, like the show was really good, but I almost like the backstory of this stuff even more, because, you know, Neil Gaiman is just loving the free press for it. And so are Amazon and Netflix for that matter. So, you know, good on them, because at least everybody else involved in it can take a joke. So, you know, I'm fingers crossed that, Amazon, you know, keeps their word and they don't make any more episodes of this mini series, which, by the way, was never going to be more than one season. That was the intent. So, you know, suck on that, morons. That's going to do it for the news. We'll be back with a review and then back with the weird news.
Those magnificent bastards!
Color me kooky, but something very odd is going on around here.
You're not allowed to talk anymore.
Just a quick review here, and that is for Omen of Sorrow. If that name sounds familiar to you, it's probably because it was announced a while ago and recently came out, and it is a Unreal Engine, like Unreal 4 Engine, fighting game done on a 2D plane, just like, think like Street Fighter, the more modern ones, very similar style. But what this is it uses characters from different mythology. So you've got stuff like fantasy, classical horror, and, you know, I like the idea that they're using stuff that's like sort of public domain, so they can use the characters, not have to worry about licensing people left and right, and can just focus on making a really good game. Now, I've played through pretty much with every character now, and I've found, you know, there's quirks here and there, and they're balancing things here and there, and it's actually a pretty good game. I was pleasantly surprised, because I thought it was going to be just, you know, a really indie title that had, you know, no real substance to it, and it was all going to be just, you know, some splashy graphics and that's it. No, there's actually some strategy to the game. I'm not by any means the best fighting person on the planet, but I do, you know, love to pop in a game or two for, you know, 10, 20 minutes at a time. And, you know, there's a bunch of really cool characters in there. You know, you've got a mummy, you know, Imhotep, which has a bit of almost like stretch mechanics, similar to like a Dhalsim type character. You got Quasimodo, you've got werewolves, you've got, you know, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, or, you know, a sort of spin-off of that, you know, Dr. Hyde, they call him. So there's really cool stuff there. Now, how does it play competitively? I played it with my brother for a bit because I needed somebody to play with me, and he's somebody who's much more versed in fighting games and plays them all the time, and he said, actually, this is pretty good. And he's probably going to go check it out and pick it up himself because it sort of slipped under the radar for him, and I feel like that's probably the only thing that it has against it, is that it just sort of slipped under most people's radar, and they just assume either it's not good or that, they forget that it exists. But it's actually a pretty good fighting game, and I could see, getting a decent crowd of people excited for it. So it's got good level design, good character design, moveset seem nice, It's fairly fluid in how you play it. It doesn't seem too clunky, so it's going to get a recommend from me. So, you know, that's A1 Games presents the Omen of Sorrow. And I say, get it now. I played it on the PS4. You know, it's available on multiple platforms, but that's primarily where I played. And I had zero issues playing it at 1080p or 4K on my PS4 Pro. And it's not like a huge game to download, so, you know, you're not going to have to, you know, delete something to make room for it. So it's actually a pretty good play.
What makes you qualified to be a reporter?
I'm willing to violate anyone's privacy for my personal gain and then claim with a straight face that the public has a right to know.
By the hand of Zeus, what manner of deviltry is this?
I love fake alien poop day.
It's weird news time, so what do we have this week in the world of weird, wacky, and just plain fucked up? Well, we have a Japanese man arrested with Wario drugs. Yes, they look like, I guess, like Flintstones, kids' chewable drugs. It says a 27-year-old man has been arrested in, I'm going to probably mispronounce this, Tokushima. Close enough, probably. Having been found with 50 MDMA ecstasy tablets in his possession, most of them shaped like Wario. As Asahi report, it's the third time this year the man has been caught with narcotics, the other two being dried cannabis and LSD. And Japan has a hardline stance on drugs, even weed. It says Kobe Customs told Asahi that the design had been increasing in numbers. It only takes a casual Google search to see what they mean. I can't be the only person looking at this now wanting Wario breakfast cereal. Just a quick little thing there. I mean, it's pretty crazy. Now, for those that don't know, Japan is pretty strict on this stuff. Like, they have a no drug policy, pretty hardcore. Whereas a lot of the rest of the world has been lightening up on it. For instance, like in Canada, marijuana is completely federally legal across the country. So we'll almost be coming up on a year of that, actually, and we've had literally no increase in crime or any issues. In fact, it's probably decreased crime, decreased stress, decreased issues. They're still pretty strict on that. So the fact that it's MDMA and ecstasy, which is a much harder, more dangerous drug, means this person's in big trouble. It is kind of funny that it was put in the shape of chewable tablets like basically vitamins for kids, which is terrifying. So I'm glad they caught him, but still, what the fuck, Japan? And our next story is this is brought to us by the AV Club. Groundbreaking climate change discovery made by Bodie McBoatface. Climate change is real, and many would argue that the most serious existing threat to humanity is climate change itself. Today, British scientists announced a major new discovery about how climate change is affecting sea levels that will most likely cause climate scientists to reconfigure their projected models. This discovery was made in due efforts to Bodie McBoatface. Bodie McBoatface, if you recall, was the subject of some internet hubbub back in 2016. Since the internet at large cannot be expected to exhibit any chill whatsoever, Bodie McBoatface was the winner of a contest held by Britain's Natural Environment Research Council to determine the name of a new $300 million research vessel. and they actually called it Bodie McBoatface. Now, as part of the maiden voyage, Bodie McBoatface has made a major discovery, published in the journal, blah, 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 for which the submersible traversed the waters of Antarctica to measure the temperature, salinity, which basically being how much salt's there, and current. What it found was that that increasingly strong winds in the Antarctic are causing cold water at the bottom of the ocean to mix with warmer waters at the middle levels. That in turn is causing overall ocean temperatures to rise, which contributes to rising sea levels previously unaware of in this process. Climate change scientists are now need to adjust their sea level forecasts. This is indeed a major finding that deserves major coverage. The sad fact is, though, that Twitter and the majority of publications, this one included, would not be taking the discovery, talking about the discovery had it not been made by an unmanned submarine with a very dumb, bad name. We're all stupid. We're all as stupid as we are doomed. So I'm perfectly fine with Bodie McBoatface. I'm guessing if we have a weather balloon, is it going to be called like, Blimpy McBlimpface or something? But I'm okay with that. Bodie McBoatface making some of the most, you know, startling discoveries in science today. So moving from Bodie McBoatface to woman named Marijuana Pepsi earns PhD with dissertation on uncommon names. This is brought to us by the HuffPost, but it's collected from other websites as well. So it says here, Marijuana Pepsi, or it's her first name, Marijuana Pepsi, and the last name is Van Dyke, is a recent graduate of Wisconsin's Cardinal Strict University, and no, she doesn't like soda or the drug. She earned her PhD last month in leadership and advancement of hearing, advancement of learning and service in higher education. Blah, 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 blah. She has a crazy name, as we all know. Her dissertation topic was black names in white classrooms, teachers' behaviors, and students', perceptions. It was born out of her personal experience as a black student with an uncommon name. I mean, you know, it goes more into detail about her life growing up and everything, but let's be real here. Like, if you're naming somebody something like Marijuana Pepsi, that, like, it's, at what point is it cruel? Like, and I know the argument is you shouldn't make fun of anybody's name, but the problem is little children will. There's nothing ever going to stop that. It's just sort of how we're bred and how we're born. You make fun of things like that until you grow to the age where you can come to the understanding that it's not appropriate. And it's a hard life if you got a name that you're named after inanimate objects. That would be like naming yourself something like Mountain Dew Jerky. Like, why would you do that? There's no point. You can do that as a nickname or something. But again, this is actually a pretty fascinating study she did on it. You know, at the same time, own your name. If that's your name, that's your name. You know, what makes a name, that sort of thing. But still, I do think, you know, it's rather cool that we now have a Dr. Marijuana Pepsi. So that's going to do it for this shorter edition of the Weird News. And upcoming, we've got, you know, more reviews, and then we're going to come back with a look at one of my stories from On the Buses, and then we're going to close out the show.
This is a fair request, and I promise I will not judge any person only as a teenager. And that this is no more right than saying all teenagers are drunken dope addicts or glue sniffers.
Bloodstained Ritual of the Night is probably one of, if not the most anticipated Kickstarter releases, and it's finally here. From the creator of the Castlevania Symphony of the Night, and as well as the spinoff series that came out later on all the other Game Boy platforms, in that style of the Metroidvania. Now, it had gone through a bit of delays here and there because of engine changes, starting new, being the first one done truly in the 2.5D. And I'll say that it does hold up, and it was a good idea to push it back a little bit while they were producing everything, because the finished product is really good. I've been playing it quite a bit now since I received the review copy, and I've been playing it on the Xbox One X, which has been really smooth, and playing it at 4K. It's not a game that requires, you know, a lot of beefy hardware to actually perform when it comes to the graphics itself. It's for all the little things like sprites on the screen, the particle effects and like running water and stuff like that. If there's rain or different anything that would have a lot of lighting and weird things are just enhanced by having it on my Xbox One X, which is fantastic. I don't need to go into the story of it because this game has been covered left and right for the last like 3 or 4 years while people were waiting for it. And it's finally here. So if you're a fan of the Castlevania series, this is the spiritual successor to the Symphony of the Night style of play. And it's going to be totally worth it for you if you're into that style of game. I'm somebody who didn't even play the original Symphony of the Night or, you know, its sequels. I played the original ones on the NES. And jumping into this, it just felt great because it's got the action RPG elements where you're slashing things on the screen. There's, you know, scores and numbers flying off the enemy like, you know, RPG health. There's plenty of items to pick up, different pathways you can take to get around things that are too difficult, puzzles to solve, backtracking, but never feels like it's too much or anything. So it's actually pretty good. The biggest thing I was worried about with it was going to be how does it handle the controls, because this is the kind of game that you need to have very precise you know, pixel perfect controls, and how's the jumping feel. And I'm happy to say that it doesn't feel very floaty. It there's enough weight to it, but not too much weight. You can control where you're jumping, where you're landing. I feel like there's not really any input lag or anything, so they've done the best they can and actually really tweaked their engine to work in this 2.5D environment, and I'm pretty happy with it. Going through the menus, it's fairly easy to equip your weapons and items and see how everything is done. Nothing seems too convoluted. It's pretty straightforward, and it's just a fun, you know, Metroidvania platformer. So I'm, you know, going to give it pretty high recommendations. If you're not into the style of gameplay, if you're, you know, from previous titles, this might actually be one that you'll want to check out to get into. So, you know, it's, I would say, recommended. Now, I played it on the Xbox One X. It is available on PS4 as well as, you know, a slew of other platforms like the Switch is coming out very soon and, you know, PC, everything. Now, one word of note is if you're playing it, make sure you just get the most recent update to it because there for people that played it on launch day, if you started saving your game and then downloaded a new patch for it, they did issue it in a statement saying that there was a sort of a game-breaking bug in the patch, but what it did was it would only have issues with save files from before that patch came out. So if you're somebody who downloads the game right now or in the future or even in the past, just download it, get the update, and when you start playing, everything's fine. So it was just sort of a glitch with people that played it like the very first day that had an issue with some save files. That's all been fixed, and I'm happy to see that. That's the sort of thing that happens with these learning curves that you hit with an indie studio starting from scratch. So that shouldn't deter you from actually playing the game because it is fixed and works perfectly. So I'm fairly happy with this. So that's Bloodstained. Check it out right now.
Your home is important. That's why GEICO helps make it easy to save on condo insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you took minimalism too far because there's only one chair in your entire condo and your only entertainment is one card. Not even a deck of cards, but a single card. And all your guests have to share one plate and one fork, but you're convinced that less stuff means more freedom. The GEICO Insurance Agency could help protect the overly minimalist broom closet you call home. Call GEICO and see how easy it is to switch and save on condo insurance.
GEICO presents, yikes, another voicemail from your roommate.
Sup, roomie? Hey, a pipe burst in the basement. It's completely flooded. Anyway, I called for someone to fix it, but in the meantime, I was thinking we could finally have that indoor pool party we've always wanted. I got some cool swan floaty things already going. Could you pick up some chips on your way home? Later.
The GEICO Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected. Like if your roommate isn't the brightest pool float in the flooded basement. Visit GEICO.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
It's time for another episode of On the Buses. Last week when I talked about my On the Buses story of where I farted in the kid's face and he almost died, I was trying to think of, you know, what would I have to balance that out as a fun story again, as fun as, I don't know if I have anything as fun as the Big Friendly Giant story. I do have a story of when I was on the bus and we were in a bus crash, which was interesting. So I was going to Zellers, which is like our version of Kmart, and right before they went bankrupt and were taken over by Target, which also went bankrupt, which I'm pretty sure it's because I took a crap in their bathroom one time and it stunk out the whole building, and I think that's why they went bankrupt. But anyway, I was picking up some movies from their bargain bin, like $3 for TV series and stuff that they were just trying to clearance out. And I was sitting in the bus, and this is when I was probably even bigger than I am now, way before I had my surgery, and I was, you know, fat man wedged into the bus. And we were driving down the street, and then we feel bang! And the bus T-boned a lady because she decided to barrel as fast as she could through a red light to try to go in front of the bus, like going the opposite direction. So we smacked into her car. Her car spun out like crazy. She had like laundry and clothes and crap in the back, and it flew all over the road. She's in the car screaming, just ah, 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 even though she wasn't hurt like at all. And then she was completely calm and just didn't know what to do. She was on her phone calling family or something. But when we hit her, it cracked the windshield of the bus. And then there was a guy that was standing at the middle of the bus, and he fell to the ground and flew forward like Dark Helmet in Spaceballs, and like a missile smacked his head in the front of the bus, and he was concussed pretty rough. So everybody had to sort of try to keep him awake, and you know, everybody flew around, everybody fell all over the place except me, because I was so fat and I wedged myself in between the seats. I barely moved at all. Like we're talking, like I didn't even have whiplash or anything. But we had the cops come out, and because everybody was so jostled, I had to give a report, because other than the driver, I was the only person that wasn't shook up enough. Like there was 30 people there, and most of them were checked out by paramedics, and the paramedics came up to me and they're like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah." And then I explained to them, and they said, "This may be one of the few situations where being morbidly obese actually helps you," because I didn't move at all. So I had to give my statement to the police of everything that happened, because the lady then was trying to claim that she was hurt and she didn't see what happened. I said, "No, she was perfectly fine." I even gave my account everything, how she only pretended to be hurt the second the cop showed up. Then she started screaming and like pretending, "Oh, my back, my neck." She was perfectly fine. She was checked out by people on the scene. And then the second the cops showed up, she got scared and had decided she had to pretend that she was hurt by the bus driver. So the bus driver ended up being okay. He was a little shook up, so they gave him like a few days off while they investigated, because that's a freaky thing to happen. But he was perfectly fine, and I gave my statement saying I would back him up if it ever went to court or something. They would have a witness. A lady was taken to the hospital. Luckily, there were no strollers on the bus or like any wheelchairs or any elderly people at that time. But there was a lady taken to the hospital because she banged her head on the side of one of the chairs. And then the guy that flew like a missile into the front of the bus was taken to the hospital. And from what I heard after that, they were both fine. They were just mild concussions, luckily. But yeah, that was kind of freaky. So I've been on a bus that had that. I was also, just to tie into the story, I was on the bus one time and a guy decided in a big Hummer, "I'm going to pass the bus because it's going too slow." And he clipped off the rear, like the side mirror of the bus. And that's a bigger fine than what you'd expect. He got fined with $10,000 on top of the damage to the bus because he was basically passing in a lane that you weren't supposed to pass in, and passing a city bus, which you're not allowed to do. And endangering, they basically charged him because he was endangering all 30 or 40 people on the bus. So yeah, so I've been on a few, but it's funny when you're on a bus and it gets into an accident and it's like in the city, not on like the highway where it's really dangerous, you're pretty much mostly safe. You know, unless I guess right now they're launching light rail transit, like monorail transit on the streets as of like when I'm recording this. Today is the first launch day. Well, they've been testing it for a week or two in town, and it's been nothing but a disaster. There's been 4 accidents, nothing caused by the city transit, but by people thinking they can speed in front of a train and turn left in front of it, and they get T-boned by the train, and then they get hit with like $10,000 or $20,000 worth of damages that their insurance has to pay, and then they get hit with criminal charges on the Highway Act because they're endangering the public in a public transit vehicle. So those people are fucked. So that's basically, I think, all the accidents I've been in when it comes to on the buses. So it's sort of balanced out. We have a funny story, a gross story, a nice story, and then a scary story. I'll probably have more. I'll think of more for the next show if we don't have another episode of our Satan's Pantry. But that should be returning fairly soon. So I'm going to go now. We're going to send it over to another one of our reviews, and then we're going to come back and close out the show.
Do you have any hobbies?
I collect spores, molds, and fungus.
Hold that thought. It's crapper time.
Hey,
Now I'm here to talk about one of my most anticipated games of the last year or so, which is Judgment from Sega. Now, it's the same team that brought us one of my top two games last year, which was the Fist of the North Star game done in the style of the Yakuza games. So I, you know, saw that this was probably the best looking, like Judgment is probably the best looking Sega game to come out maybe ever when it comes to character models, environment, and everything. It feels like what I expected, like the Dreamcast 2 or 3 or 4 would look like sort of thing. It's got a very arcadey sort of feel. You sort of go between having elements that are investigating, like it's got a bit of an adventure mode where you're investigating crimes, and then you have, you know, crazy kung fu action a la sort of maybe a, like a bit of Yakuza mixed with that Fist of the North Star game, mixed with a little bit of the Shenmue sort of feel. And, you know, there's sort of RPG-ish elements to that too. So it's pretty interesting. Like, it's a very story-driven game. So, you know, I won't go beyond what the trailers had sort of shown. But, it, you know, is this sort of Sega's answer to, you know, what a AAA title needs to be in 2019? I'd say yes. This is probably their magnum opus when it comes to the Yakuza team. Like, I've been a fan of the Yakuza games more recently when I started getting into the remakes, like the remastered ones. And this feels like just an evolution from beyond that. It's probably going to make my list of top five games of the year. We're about halfway through the year, so we'll have to wait and see. But I don't foresee it going below that. I'm going to say if you're, you know, a fan of the Yakuza series or this style of game, it's definitely a must-buy. Even if you're not, if you're on the fence, then this is sort of your first entry into what the modern Sega action-adventure, you know, RPG brawler type thing is, this is going to be the game to get you into it. I know right now it's on Amazon for like $10 off, I think, because there was a pre-order bonus on it. It's one that I'm very, very happy I got to play, and I'm probably going to keep playing it for quite some time now. I don't want to gush any more about it, but I was very, very pleasantly surprised. The graphics, like I said, are top-notch. The audio design is nice and surround. Lossless sounds fantastic. It has all the little goodies you're used to, like little mini-games and stuff that you're used to in all the Yakuza-type Sega titles. There's so many hours of gameplay in this, and you know, mix into that, just it has a really cool environmental feel, and it's the graphics are getting so good that they don't, you know, hit that uncanny valley thing. They still look like a video game, but they still look fantastic. It's the kind of thing where if you zoomed out far enough, like, you would look like the environments are real, which is great, and it's nice that we're finally getting to that point where we can do that in games. Now, you're able to do two different combat styles. You can take down groups with sweeping blows, like it's called crane style, and then you can switch to tiger, and you basically go into like a one-on-one dueling kung fu mode, which is kind of cool that you can mix and match the modes as you go. And like I said, there's a big detective aspect of it. It retails for it's first of all, it's a PS4 exclusive, and it's available, you know, for about $60 American. That would be $80 Canadian, and in Canada it was down for $70 for a pre-order. It might be the same in the States. I'm not 100% sure, but it is rated mature, so it's not for kids, but they describe their genre as action RPG courtroom thriller, and that's probably the best description I could think of for it. So, you know, check out a couple videos on YouTube on it as far as, like, trailers go, but, you know, take my word for it. It's a friggin' fantastic game and definitely worth picking up day one. And that's going to do it for the show this week. As I said in the intro, it's going to be pretty busy around here. We still will have plenty of stuff coming out. Remember to check and subscribe to the This Week in Geek Twig Classic podcast, which you can find in the description below. It gets tweeted and Facebook messaged out whenever we put them out. I'm trying to go through all of our back catalog and find some of the best and most important and fun episodes over the last 12, 13 years that we've been doing this. So it's going to be, you know, an interesting ride, because you only get up to 300 or so episodes before your feed gets cut off on most podcast feeds. So this way we can relive the best and the brightest of our, you know, nearly 1500 episodes or so that we've done. It is worth checking out. It is on a separate feed. You can find that actually also on Spotify. If you look up This Week in Geek or Twig Classic, Most of our podcasts now are going to be spread over multiple platforms, because it's not just either through the website, through your through a basic podcatcher like that, or iTunes. You now have iTunes, Spreaker, our website, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, YouTube. It's going to be spread out everywhere, so you can pick it up any way you want to listen to it, which is really good, because it makes our lives easier because it posts to everything. So be on the lookout for that. We're releasing basically two or three times a week one of the classic episodes. We still got Twig, you know, the show right now, the main show. We got Turtle Treasure. We also have Nerd to the Third. We have shows that are that air not as consistently, but whenever there's a major event like Mayhem Mike's. We should, as soon as Steve Phillips, I guess he used to go by Steve Megatron, as soon as he moves into his new place in Colorado from where he's moving from Michigan, we should have more joint episodes of Future Imperfect coming back. We should have more commentaries and things coming up soon, and some a new episode, I believe, is in the works of the Prototype. So we're getting the ball rolling for the summer, and there's plenty of content, at least three or four episodes of different things a week, which is great. The goal is to get to basically every day of the week you have something you can download and listen to, which would be sweet, but we'll see how we get there, because it's going to be a busy couple weeks right now. So Birdman has said that he wants to be back this coming week, but it all depends on if he's ready to return with everything that's been going on with him at home and needing to take a proper break from everything. So we'll see about that, and if not, you'll hear me back again next weekend. So until then, I guess it live free or die hard. Talk to you people later.
Well, that's our show. All right, here's the deal. Every time you watch my show, I will send you $40.
Checks will not be honored.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek, your source for guaranteed nonsense or your money back. Tune in next week for more info and the most important things you didn't need to know. Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net and subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head over to this episode's post at thisweekingeek.net and leave a comment through Facebook Connect. Follow us on Twitter at thisweekingeek.net and follow our Instagram at twig_official_podcast. Social media not your thing? Send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Just when you think this show is terrible, something wonderful happens.
What?
It ends.
I have to go. Somewhere there is a crime happening.
Alrighty then.
Technology Truths, brought to you by Geico.
Technology Truths.
Truth. Teenagers can communicate entirely in emojis.
How was the birthday party? Pizza slice, kitten, soccer ball, pineapple?
Truth. It's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at Geico.com.
What are you talking about? Paperclip, shoulder shrug, high five, wizard hat? What?
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Geico presents yet another voicemail from your roommate.
Hi. So, about the kitchen. Turns out, when there's a grease fire, you're not supposed to throw water on it. Who would have known, right? Anyways, the fire department is here, and it's totally cool. Give me a call back when you get a chance.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected. Like if danger is your roommate's middle name. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.